Two pedestrians have been killed in separate accidents. Good evening, I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Courtney Anderson, and those fatalities top our news tonight, a Montana Evening Edition.
Reporter Mike Powell tells us about a program to help people afflicted with aphasia. And in our feature interview, reporter Edward O'Brien talks with the head of the Montana Primary Care Association about what you need to know about Obamacare. A 29-year-old Browning woman who had reportedly just left a bar says she was reading a text message when she felt something hit her car early yesterday. The Montana Highway Patrol says the woman struck and killed a Browning man who was walking along U.S. Highway 2 near Browning at about 2 a.m. The Glacier County Sheriff's Office tells the Great Falls Tribune the victim was 42-year-old Kinsley Rattler. The patrol connected the woman to the pedestrian's death after she was pulled over for a traffic violation an hour later. Troopers found pieces of clothing on her car consistent with the victim's. The woman said she thought she hit a horse. She said she stopped and didn't see anything and continued driving east toward Browning. The crash is still under investigation.
The Montana Highway Patrol is investigating after a man was struck by a vehicle and killed along Interstate 90 east of Big Timber. Trooper Bill Bullock says the man's body was found this morning. No one witnessed the collision. Investigators say the vehicle was likely traveling westbound, but officers don't have a description of the vehicle.
And in other news from around the state, Montanans who don't now have health insurance can start signing up for an insurance plan under the Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare, starting tomorrow. They have until March 2014 to enroll in the plan of their choice or face a tax penalty. There are currently almost 200,000 Montanans who don't have health insurance, so potentially tens of thousands of Montanans will soon be signed up and seeking health care they perhaps previously avoided. State Auditor and Insurance Commissioner Monica Lindeen believes Montana's health care system should be able to absorb the new clients.
I think Montana's healthcare system can handle the influx. I mean, certainly we do have a shortage of primary care physicians in the state. I think that's the case everywhere, not just in Montana. But you have to remember that a lot of these folks who haven't had coverage in the past, they're utilizing our system already. They're showing up in emergency rooms with critical issues. They're utilizing our emergency room as their primary care provider. They're getting surgeries. And literally, it's just costing the system more money in that case. Because then you have hospitals writing off charity care, which those of us who then have coverage are paying for.
We'll have a feature interview with Lindeen about the impacts of Obamacare tomorrow during Montana Evening Edition. And later on in this broadcast, we'll have a feature interview with Bob Marsali of the Montana Primary Care Association about how the new insurance marketplace works and how you can sign up.
Montana Department of Justice officials say law enforcement officers shot and wounded a 46-year-old Anaconda man who attempted to run them over in his car. Spokesman John Barnes said in a statement, officers from the Anaconda Deer Lodge County Law Enforcement Agency were attempting to arrest the man today. Barnes says the officers found the man in the car and he attempted to leave by driving directly at them. The officer shot and wounded the man. He was transported to a Missoula hospital. None of the officers were injured. The man was not identified. Barnes says he was wanted for failure to appear for sentencing for DUI, the man's fourth DUI offense. The Anaconda Deer Lodge County Attorney and Police Chief have asked the State Division of Criminal Investigation to lead the investigation.
A Rocky Boy man who was reported missing last week has been found dead on the Rocky Boys Reservation. Chippewa Cree Tribal Police Investigator Steve Corcoran tells the Havre Daily News a tribal employee found the body of 24-year-old Cody Lewis Trottier near a vacant building Friday afternoon. Trottier was last seen at about 6 a.m. on September 21st. His family reported him missing 4 days later. Corcoran says Trottier's death does not appear to be the result of foul play.
Montana State University is reporting record enrollment this fall, while the University of Montana has fewer students than a year ago. MSU officials said today its fall enrollment is 15,294 students. UM officials last week put their fall enrollment at 14,525. Both numbers include the school's two-year colleges. Montana State officials say enrollment is up more than 4% from last year, which also was a record. The fastest growing college College is the College of Engineering with 3,102 students. Enrollment at MSU has jumped nearly 20% since 2009. UM President Royce Engstrom said in a statement that his university's decline is due primarily to smaller classes of new students and larger graduating classes. The university has launched initiatives to improve its outreach to prospective students and their families.
The director of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is strongly defending its proposal to drop federal protection for gray wolves across most of the lower 48 states ahead of a series of public hearings on the plan. The agency in June called for dropping the wolf from the endangered list everywhere except in parts of Arizona and New Mexico, where a subspecies called the Mexican wolf is struggling for survival. Agency Director Dan Ash said today that the wolf's recovery in the Great Lakes and Northern Rockies is one of the greatest conservation successes ever. He said the species is no longer in danger of dying out, but some environmentalists and scientists say it's too soon to drop federal protections.
We depend on one or more forms of communication to interact with people on a daily basis. Conditions like stroke and traumatic brain injury can cause aphasia, a condition which limits the ability to use and understand language. Reporter Mike Powell has the story of a program at the University of Montana that provides therapy to people affected by aphasia.
Since 2011, the Big Sky Aphasia Program, or BSAP, at the University of Montana has held speech therapy clinics during the summer and fall, designed to help people with aphasia regain the ability to communicate. Communicative Science and Disorders Assistant Professor Catherine Off is one of the two professors in charge of BSAP, which is the only intensive aphasia program in the Mountain West.
Traditionally, speech services for stroke survivors are more intensive when they are in acute or subacute care when they're still in the hospital. They may receive treatment daily or at least several times a week. But once they are discharged to home, that availability of either provider or finances or transportation limits their ability to receive services, and they tend to only have services 1 to 2 times per week. There just are not very many speech pathologists that have the capability of providing services multiple hours a day, several days a week.
BSAP's month-long programs provide individual speech therapy sessions, which focus on each participant's communication abilities and goals. Assistant professor and clinical instructor Ann Kennedy says participants also benefit from the program's group sessions.
Can you say it again?
And aphasia tends to be a very isolating condition. It cuts people off from their family, from their friends, from their community. And by being with other people with aphasia, they get that support of not being the only person who's struggling with this communication disorder. But they also get to see this wonderful continuum of abilities. They might be in a position to help someone who maybe can't communicate as well as they can. But then they're also in a position to be inspired by people who are a little bit further down the road to recovery.
Recovery from aphasia can vary. One person's goal might be to form a complete sentence, while another person aims to speak the way he or she did before the stroke or traumatic brain injury occurred. Likewise, says Kennedy, there's no typical case of aphasia.
Even if two clients come with damage to the same area of the brain, the degree of the damage can be so different. The associated areas that are damaged can be so different, and that can cause a different presentation. But also what the person brings to the table before their stroke or their head injury can really shape the way that aphasia impacts them.
Catherine Off says the presentation of aphasia depends on the location of damage to the hemisphere of the brain responsible for language, usually the left hemisphere. She says damage to the portion of the brain near the front of the hemisphere causes Broca's or non-fluent aphasia, which causes speech problems. A person with this type of aphasia may only speak in broken sentences that lack connecting words.
For folks with more posterior involvement to the brain, you end up with either Wernicke's or fluent aphasia, and that tends to be, they have an easier time at speaking, so it sounds not effortful, but the words that they produce don't have as much meaning to them, so it may be kind of empty. You may be saying a very perfectly well-formulated grammatical sentence, but it doesn't have a whole lot of meaning. It can also be filled with words that are jargon or words that they are close to the intended target but not right on. And so it can sound almost a little bit confusing to the listener.
Kennedy and Off have received positive feedback from clients who have participated in BSAP's past programs. Some clients, such as Becky Forbes of Cutbank, have returned to attend the current program.
There is no one around me that has aphasia. So being here at the university allows me to interact with others with this disorder. Something that being here gives you an opportunity to work on your skills, your speaking skills. And it's a wonderful program. I appreciate the opportunity to work with the grad students, but also the friends that I have made here, others that are clients here for the program.
BSAP has expanded since its formation in 2011, when less than five clients and their families attended the program. Now, seven people are enrolled, including BSAP's first out-of-state client from California. Catherine Off attributes most of the program's expansion to word of mouth.
It's a small community, and it has just taken a few years for us to get to know everybody, the people that we need to know, and for them to be able to keep passing on this information. We know we are now reaching the eastern side of the state just through word of mouth, and that is amazing to us.
BSAP's current program will run through October 23rd. More information about the Big Sky Aphasia Program, its therapies, and program cost can be found by visiting coehs.umt.edu, keyword aphasia. For Montana Evening Edition, I'm Mike Powell.
Individuals and groups looking for health insurance will, starting tomorrow, have another alternative at their disposal. The online health insurance marketplace goes live then at healthcare.gov and will offer specific plan and cost information. This marketplace is part of the Affordable Care Act. Three Montana groups won federal grants earlier this year to help uninsured Montanans figure out which private health insurance plans would be best for them. The Montana Primary Care Association is one of those organizations that will provide guides, called navigators, to help Montanans who request assistance. The nonprofit association provides training, technical, and advocacy assistance to community health centers across Montana. Also doing this is Planned Parenthood and the Montana Health Network. In tonight's feature interview with Edward O'Brien, CEO Bob Marsali explains how these navigators will do that and how the new marketplace will work.
So navigators are essentially assisters, people who are going to do outreach to currently uninsured Montanans to introduce them to the possibility of purchasing an affordable health insurance plan on the health insurance marketplace.
And how many of them do you have?
We are blessed to have three navigators currently and are looking to add an additional three to five navigators out in the field.
Any idea how many people you'll be consulting with, just your organization alone?
Our goal is to reach tens of thousands of individuals, frankly. It's an ambitious goal, maybe even an audacious goal, but it's an important time. Time is of the essence, and so we're going to work really hard on joining with others in the communities across the state to assist and enroll as many people as we can.
Okay, healthcare is so complicated. Let's start with a bit of a primer here. We're heading into this marketplace era now. What are these marketplaces?
So essentially, the marketplace is an electronic web-based portal that allows a consumer to easily compare one health insurance plan to another. It's an apples-to-apples comparison that the marketplace allows the consumer to make based on the cost of a premium, the different plans, deductibles, etc. So it's a way of facilitating an informed consumer choice about an affordable health insurance option for themselves and for their families.
And is it open to everybody?
anyone in the state of Montana is welcome to explore the marketplace and look at health plans through it.
And subsidies are available, is that correct?
Subsidies, yes, are available based on income and family size. So if you're an individual, say, between 100 and 400% of the federal poverty level, which is the way the federal government determines need, and your family size is 2 or 3, or maybe it's just yourself, you may be eligible for premium subsidies, and depending on your circumstances, may even be able to access advanced premium subsidies. In other words, rather than waiting till tax time, your subsidy could be effectuated immediately and help you with your premium monthly premium payment. There are also subsidies for certain individuals that allow them, again, based on income and family size, to have relief from co-payments and deductibles. So it's a pretty robust approach to making health insurance affordable.
What happens if you do qualify for a subsidy and yet 6 months, a year from now, your income changes and you're making more money?
Sure, that's possible. And if, say, for example, someone at the time that they file their income tax learns that they earned less than they anticipated when they enrolled, they would be eligible for reimbursement on those premium subsidies. If they learned after the course of the year that they'd earned more than they projected, then they would have to pay back money to the federal government for the premium subsidies that they had enjoyed the year prior.
Okay, Mr. Moselli, let's say you're an uninsured single mom and you have a tough time going to sleep at night because you're scared to death that one of your kids is going to get sick, maybe break an arm. How do you start this large, complicated process? How do you find a navigator to figure out what your options are?
Sure. So the really good news is actually you don't even need a navigator to help you. You can simply go to healthcare.gov, and the marketplace lives in that web portal, and you can make your choices that way. Another way that you could access support or assistance is to call the Montana Primary Care Association office, and we would be ready to help that individual. We could go to them, they could come to us, whatever they felt like they needed most and would be most convenient to them. There are also, across the state, in community health centers today, what are called outreach and enrollment specialists. These are Montana State certified application counselors. They've done all the requisite training, have met all the requirements, passed all the scrutiny, and they can help individuals in their communities to enroll, understand what is involved in purchasing a health insurance plan through the marketplace.
It sounds like the potential for scam artists here is pretty incredible. How do you know you're dealing with somebody who's legitimate and somebody who's not?
I think folks always have to be very careful with anyone at any time when they're sharing personal financial information or health information. And all the navigators in the state are required to go through criminal background checks and fingerprinting, rigorous exams to be both federally and state certified. So you'll always want to ask someone whether or not they are and can they prove it. And the state issues documents to certified application counselors and navigators that then can be presented and shown to the consumer before making those kinds of conversations and commitments. There probably will be fewer scams than some people are worried about, but again, folks need to take precautions anytime that they're engaging in conversations that affect their finances. So the primary purpose of a navigator is to ensure that personal health information and personal financial information is guaranteed privacy and security in every transaction.
And no payment expected.
And no payment is expected. Thank you for mentioning that. These are services that are free of charge, and so someone who wants to charge you for these things is probably not dealing honestly with you.
Three companies are selling policies here in Montana, right?
Right.
Is it guaranteed you'll be paying less money for health care in this marketplace, or could you be paying more?
You know, it really depends on the plan that you choose, Ed. There are four what they call metal plans: bronze, silver, gold, and platinum. And if you were to choose a bronze plan, for example, your monthly premium would be substantially lower than you might have if you chose, say, a platinum plan, which would have a higher monthly premium but much lower deductibles and co-insurance and co-payments. So it really depends on the plan that's being chosen. And again, one of the nice things about the marketplace is that it allows consumers to compare apples to apples. All the plans have to cover a core essential health benefit plan, and everything is described in detail so folks know exactly what they're getting into before they make a purchase decision. So it's conceivable that a single adult would pay very much less than they might in the traditional commercial marketplace of insurance through healthcare.gov. They could experience real savings, especially if they're eligible for premium subsidies or additional subsidies around co-payments and deductibles.
And what if you're relatively healthy and you say, the heck with this, I don't want to buy insurance for myself?
Well, I think that's a question that's an honest and real question, and one of the things I would say to a person who is asking that question was, well, if you were driving a car without a seatbelt, you might increase the likelihood of harm to yourself and others by not being prepared for the eventuality of need or accident. Same with health insurance. You may be healthy today, but it doesn't mean that you're not just like everybody else. You could become ill without knowing it, without being regularly in the care of a family practice physician, for example. You might have an accident that requires surgical intervention. So insurance is a way of covering your bases and protecting yourself and your family and your assets and really purchasing peace of mind. And it's the law. That's really the bottom line, is that every Montanan, with very few exceptions, must have a minimum essential coverage plan that they can prove. Otherwise, at the end of the tax year, they're going to have to pay a $95 penalty to the IRS for not having insurance in the 2014 calendar year. That amount goes up to $325 per adult in the 2015 calendar year.
So let's say, again, you do want insurance and you're starting this process. Are there certain questions you should have in mind, certain information you should be prepared with to make things go a little more smoothly?
Sure. I think it's really important for a consumer to know basically what they can afford and how much they would be willing to pay and what they actually need. Do they need the robust coverage of say a platinum plan, or can they do just as well with a silver level plan? Those are the kinds of deliberations that they need to be prepared to make. And the navigators or the certified application counselors are trained and equipped to help them think those things through. The marvelous thing about this is that no navigator is going to try to sell somebody something that they don't want or need. They're not going to try to steer them to any particular plan. They're just going to give them very important and helpful information so that they can make a choice for themselves that's well-informed and well-considered.
So, Mr. Marcella, do you think you and your staff are ready for this?
Well, we're very excited, ready, willing, and able. Absolutely.
All right. So whether one loves the idea of the Affordable Care Act or one despises it, it's coming in one way or another. We have to be prepared, right?
That's absolutely right. The Affordable Care Act is here, hopefully to stay. And the wonderful news is that now many, many more Americans will be able to afford a decent health plan. And that's very exciting. And with that comes not just peace of mind, but improved health for the population of Montana.
Bob Marcelli of the Montana Primary Care Association, thanks a lot for your good information.
Thanks very much.
Now for tonight's weather forecast. For west of the Divide, tonight expect mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain. Lows will be in the 30s. Tomorrow calls for mostly cloudy skies with a chance of rain throughout the day. Highs will be in the upper 40s to mid 50s. For central Montana, there is a high wind warning in effect until 6 a.m. tomorrow. For the Rocky Mountain Front, Eastern Glacier, Hill, Cascade, Shoto, and central and southern Lewis and Clark, Tool, Liberty, Eastern Ponderay, Blaine, Eastern Teton, Judith Basin, and Fergus. worse. Tonight will be mostly cloudy in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with lows around 35 to 40 degrees. West winds will be 25 to 35 miles per hour with gusts up to 55 miles per hour. Tomorrow expect partly cloudy skies with highs around 50 to 60 degrees. West winds will be around 20 to 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. And for southwest Montana, tonight calls for mostly cloudy skies in the evening, then becoming partly cloudy with a slight chance of snow. Lows will be in the 30s, and southwest winds will be around 20 to 30 miles per hour in the evening, with gusts up to 40 miles per hour. Tomorrow will be partly cloudy with highs around 50 to 60 degrees. And now for the editorial comments of Pat Byearth.
The unheralded 40th anniversary of Montana adopting a wild trout management policy may surprise some Montanans. Perhaps it's even more surprising to Montanans that there is an anniversary of wild trout management at all. But the anniversary is noteworthy for several reasons. Historically, the adoption of wild trout management is a key policy in a chain of fisheries management decisions dating back to the Civil War. Ecologically, wild trout management set the stage for a revolution in how Montanans treated our rivers and streams. And finally, economically, wild trout management helped create Montana's economic bread and butter. That is clean air, clean cold water, healthy rivers, and wild places and wildlife. First, a little history lesson. Latecomers to fisheries management might be surprised to know that trout management did not begin with a river runs through it. In fact, Montana began managing trout during the Civil War. That's right. The first Montana territorial legislature convened in a chilly Bannock back room in December of 1864. The legislators took on issues like deciding whether to choose sides in the Civil War, where to develop new public infrastructure, and to pass a fishing regulation. Public Law 407 prohibited the taking of trout with anything other than a rod or pole. Fast forward 110 years, and we meet E. Richard, or Dick Vincent, a young fisheries biologist with the Montana Fish and Game, who discovered that stocking fish in rivers and streams was counterproductive. He found that stocking hatchery rear trout in the Madison River actually suppressed wild fish populations and was an expensive route to lower quality trout fishing. Dick banded together with local business owners, including an innkeeper and a now-famous rod maker, to convince a segment of the angling public and his agency supervisors to implement this bold wild trout policy. The policy was simple, if not profound, simply stating that the state would no longer stock fish in waters capable of supporting wild populations. This decision is now the envy of anglers and fish biologists the world over. Second, wild trout management may be one of the greatest ecological success stories never told. The wild trout management policy diverted attention away from stocking fish to compensate for habitat destruction caused by pollution or bulldozing and dewatering streams. The wild trout policy focused attention on protecting and restoring degraded rivers and streams to provide the cool, clean water and healthy streams that trout require. While trout and anglers were primary beneficiaries of wild trout policy, a long list of species like mink, otter, ospreys, eagles, bears, and kingfishers enjoy healthy habitats and a consistent food source thanks to wild trout management. Humans other than fishermen also benefit from the recreational and economic riches of healthy rivers and streams. Floaters and innkeepers, rod and wader makers, restaurants and chambers of commerce each enjoy the bounty that Montana's trout fishing provides. Which brings us to the third gift of wild trout. Every year, our healthy rivers and streams generate several hundreds of millions of dollars in economic activity for Montana. For context, the Madison River trout fishery, the home of wild trout management, annually generates more economic activity than the entire skiing industry statewide in Montana. Wild trout policy, coupled with a chain of protective laws like the Clean Water Act, 310, and the Stream Protection Act have each contributed to creating Montana's economic engine, still fueled by clean water, clean air, healthy rivers and streams, and abundant fish and wildlife populations inhabiting our wild places. So the next time your representative or candidate for Congress and the State House foams at the mouth about job-killing environmental regulations, make sure to tell them the tale of wild trout management and the hundreds of millions of dollars generated annually from our protective regulations. In fact, our fish, wildlife, rivers, and lakes aren't just our economic bread and butter. They're the honey that makes our lives here so sweet. I'm Pat Byers with Trout Unlimited's Montana Water Project.
Pat Byers is one of several commentators on Montana Evening Edition, and the views expressed do not necessarily represent those of the station. If you have a comment, you can send it via our webpage at mtpr.org. Montana Evening Edition is also archived on our website. I'm Connor Ballantyne.
And I'm Courtney Anderson. Thanks for listening, and please join Edward O'Brien tomorrow at 7, 8, and 8:30 for Montana Morning News.